It is the Daily Podcast. Welcome, friends. Wednesday morning, April 27th. All the good stuff from today's broadcast. We started off loudly thanks to a fire alarm in the building. Very annoying, but our soundproofing held up quite nicely. You'll see. We tested it out. A house on a golf course just came into some cash thanks to it raining golf balls. We found out what the priciest license is for a song in a movie. Song Stories featured a good one from Tom Petty I hadn't heard in a while. And the Mayor of Dogville contest is officially on. Plenty of info on that in here. We spun the womanly wheel of wow today. Journey is mashing things up for the new season of Stranger Things, and we geeked out with Neil deGrasse Tyson, our buddy Chuck Nice, local comedian. He does a podcast with him, and he scored this interview. If you want to hear the full thing, you can check that out. Separately from this edit that we played on the show today, the full chat was a half hour long, so not putting the full one in here. I'll just give you the edit from today's show, but check that out if you would likewise like to geek out. Here you go. It's the Daily.
Dave, open the door for a second, would you? We're going through a fire alarm test here at the building. We go through these about every 3 months. For some reason, they're convinced that this building's going to catch on fire any moment.
Well, it has.
All right. It did one time. All right.
During the radiothon.
I just realized I had the mics cranked all the way up.
Longest fire alarm test ever. It started at 5:51.
Right. And all I could figure is that there's one fireman who is walking through the building and making sure that every alarm is ringing, every light is blinking.
Yep, that right? one's
but
blinking.
It is absolutely deafening. And what amazes me is this studio is that soundproofed, right? That like right now, we cannot hear it at all. But Dave, just open up that door a little bit.
Got it.
Still going on.
The John DeBella Podcast. Philadelphia's classic rock station, 102.9 MGK.
I'm going to assume that if the opportunity arose and you guys were financially set to do something like this, you would not mind living on a golf course, having a house that was on a golf course.
Yeah, as long as it was a nice golf course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a Muni.
I don't know if I would.
Really?
Yeah, too many balls. Hitting the house, hitting me in the yard.
And it's common sense. If you're going to be living on a golf course, there's a good chance that balls are going to hit your house or come into your yard. One Massachusetts family, however, was it was an understatement for them. They are almost $5 million richer for what they called golf ball terrorism.
Okay.
All right. In 2017, they bought their dream home in Indian Pond Estates for $750,000. A month later, they were hit with their first golf ball from the 15th hole. Since then, over 700 balls have found their way onto their property, resulting in smashed windows, crushed siding, and forcing them to put helmets on their kids when they played outside.
Yeah.
All right, a lawsuit filed by the couple ended up with them winning $4.9 million and resulted in a permanent injunction against golf balls landing on their property, which forced the golf course to realign their tee box so that it doesn't line up with their house.
Okay.
I mean, that would have been probably if they would have gone, I don't know, maybe they did go to the golf course and say, hey, look, and the golf course said, no, we're not moving our tee box. You know, you're living on a golf course.
Right.
Right. Well, but
who's paying that $5 million, though?
The golf.
Oh, screw them. Gosh. You move there.
The John DeBella Podcast.
Well, you know this means war.
102.9.
Slaughter all who stand in our way.
MGK.
I got a question for you this morning.
Yeah.
All right. Of all of the music in the world, all right, that gets used in movies and television, all right, what do you think, what song do you think is the highest licensed song? Not the one that gets licensed the most, the one that costs the most to license.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a Beatles song.
I want to rock, Twisted Sister.
All right. But they only use half the rocks.
Yeah, but they don't have enough time in the movie. It's only 2 hours long.
I'll say Don't Stop Me Now by Queen.
Okay.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
I say something by the Stones. I'm not sure what title it would be, but Stones.
You're going to go with the Stones, all right? And you at least picked an exact song, all right? I wonder if anybody can guess this. I'll open up the phone lines.
Go ahead.
215-263-WMGK. This is, if you want to use a song in a movie, that's what licensing is all about. If you want to use a song in a movie, you have to pay to license that song, right? What song is the most costly? What's the most expensive song to license for a movie? Call us here in the studio. Come on, Angela. How's it going?
It's going great.
Okay.
Because
what
I think I'm
think?
A champion.
Oh, you're a champion. All right. Is that a hint to what your answer is going to be? What is the most expensive song to license for television and movies?
Queen, We Are the Champions.
Very good guess, but it's wrong. Over to Sharon. Sharon, what's the song?
Happy Birthday.
No, it is not Happy Birthday. Over to Megan. Megan, what's the song?
I'm going to go with Help from the Beatles.
Help from the Beatles is not it. Let's go with Mike. Mike, what's the song?
Hey, John, how you doing? It's Mike Buikasha.
Okay, Mike, say that at a speed that people can actually understand you.
Sorry about that. I was drinking. Water, that is. AC/DC Thunderstruck.
AC/DC Thunderstruck. We've got a winner.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
We've got a winner. And $500,000
wow.
to use that song in a Oof. Movie. And it got used in a bunch of movies. Varsity Blues, Deadpool 2, Thor Ragnarok, Battleship, Iron Man 2, The Longest Yard, Daddy's Home 2.
Wow.
It is it's just
it
over
back.
And over again. $500,000 every time someone uses that song. How disappointed would you be if you went to an AC/DC show and they didn't play this song?
Very.
All right, now I would walk out. I would just walk the hell out. As a matter of fact, I want to hear it first.
Yeah.
I want it to be the first thing you play when you walk out on stage. AC/DC and Thunderstruck. Generally, it costs between $15,000 and $60,000 to license a song for a movie or a TV show. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But it was in 1999 that Varsity Blues wanted to use Thunderstruck. And they said, okay, $500,000.
Wow,
and,
out the gate.
Right, right. And they paid it. So now it's very possible that it costs even more nowadays than it did back then. Like I said, Deadpool, Thor Ragnarok, Battleship, Iron Man 2, The Longest Yard, Daddy's Home, Daddy's Home 2. Just a few of the movies that have used Thunderstruck. And the band has made $500,000 every single time that that has been used. That is just... good for them.
Yeah, heck yeah.
It's good for
and
them.
And worth it every
right,
time,
right, right.
in my opinion.
I wonder what those two cello guys get for using their version.
Oh, man.
I forgot about
The John DiBella Podcast.
Wow.
Philadelphia's classic rock station, 102.9 MGK.
You know the bands. You know the songs. This is the history behind them. Classic Rock 102.9 MGK presents... Song Stories.
Song Stories being brought to us by Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Refugee and Here Comes My Girl were not only the two singles off the Tom Petty 1980 album, Damn the Torpedoes, but they were the first two cuts on the album. And while neither one of them was a top 40 hit, they were huge FM rock radio hits. And according to Jimmy Iovine, the two best album opening tracks that he ever worked on. And the Heartbreakers guitarist Mike Campbell told us a story about Iovine, you know, hearing these songs and, well, really boosting their confidence.
As much as we ever do, we knew they were good, but I think it helped the confidence a lot to have Jimmy come in and stand behind them and fight for them. You never really know, do you? You know, you think, well, this one's pretty good. This might be a hit. Sometimes it is, sometimes it ain't. With us, you just never know.
The John DiBella Podcast. Philadelphia's classic rock station, 102.9 MGK.
We made the announcement earlier this morning. We are looking for the mayor of Dogville. As you know, the dog walk is coming up on May 14th. We'll be at Green Lane Park once again. It'll be a great day out. There'll be, so, you know, we'll have doggy demos. We've got Frisbee dogs this year.
Oh, get out.
Frisbee dogs, yeah. And we got canine patrols and stuff like that. You can get advice from experts there. We'll have all of the shelters and the rescue groups we possibly can fit into the park. The hair of the dog, if that's something you want. Crooked Eye Brewing Beer Garden is going to happen once again. And all of this being brought to us by a Bridgeport Vet and Heritage Fence. Now, the mayor of Dogville, that is a big prize. Because if your dog is named mayor of Dogville, you walk away with a $500 Concord Pet Food and Supply gift card, and you could just do what you want with that. And what we need you to do to be the mayor of Dogville is send a picture of your dog. Just go to WMGK.com, and you'll be able to insert it right there. It's not going to pop up on the screen immediately. Give it some time. It'll take a few hours before it does, because it has to be monitored, right? You know, because some people, next thing you know, there's some naked guy in, you know, with his picture in the mirror, right? And that's popping up now. That's why we have to monitor it. So for the mayor of Dogville, you put up your dog picture, and it's got to be up by May 8th, because on the 9th, we will pick the finalists, and we'll have 3 days of voting, and then on Wednesday, we will announce who the mayor of Dogville is. So go to WMGK.com. All of the information is right there. Be the mayor of Dogville, and you could be walking away with all those, well, your dog could be walking away with all those gifts.
The John DeBella Podcast, Philadelphia's classic rock station, 102.9 MGK.
The Wheel of Wow. The all-women Wheel of Wow this morning. And the wheel is full. And I got to tell you, you still got time to get your votes into us, because we're basically going by act name, and we're not going by song with this week. And here's what's on the wheel. Patti Smith's Because the Night, Janis Joplin, Move Over, Stevie Nicks, Gypsy, Heart, What About Love, Pat Benatar, Treat Me Right. Then you got Joan Jett's Do You Want to Touch, Grace Slick with White Rabbit, Blondie, Heart of Glass, The Go-Go's We've Got the Beat, and The Pretenders Back on the Chain Gang. Now, is there anything in particular you would want to hear?
Oh, man. The Chain Gang would be pretty chill.
Yeah, I'm always up for Chrissy Hynde.
Yeah, probably The Go-Go's.
You go with Go-Go's?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Well, then spin that wheel, Steve.
See if your theory holds true about the nut and the long spin. It's still going pretty good.
Yeah, it's still going good.
Maybe it wasn't the loose nut.
It's that pitcher's arm of thieves. Here we go, 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 here we go. Really? Okay. All right. I'm fine with that. I think a lot of people are going to be happy with that. She got a lot of suggestions this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, we go to Fleetwood Mac and Stevie Nicks with Gypsy.
The John DeBella Podcast.
Sounds good.
Philadelphia's classic rock station, 102.9 MGK.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
July is when Stranger Things comes back. Is that
May?
May?
It's in two parts. I think May 28th and then July something.
Okay. Okay. All right. Because this is interesting. There's a new trailer for Stranger Things 4.
Yes.
And it features a music mix of the Stranger theme, the Stranger Things theme, and Journey's Separate Ways, Worlds Apart.
Okay.
All right. Listen to this.
Works.
And what's wild is Journey did this.
Okay.
And then
the song comes in.
Yeah, the song comes in.
It works in the beginning.
Yeah. It really does. It really
was that
does
Steve Perry or the new guy?
No. That's Steve Perry. That's
okay, it. I thought so. But when it came in, it sounded like the new guy.
Yeah. Right. Well, it's not like Journey can't get to those tracks.
This is true.
Right. Speaking of Steve Perry.
All right.
He sent us a banging guitar
Radiothon. He sent us a gorgeous guitar for Radiothon. And speaking of guitars, we got one from Lindsey Buckingham Monday night for the Radiothon as well.
Yeah.
We got some great guitars this year for the Radiothon. That's coming up on June 17th.
The John DeBella Podcast, Philadelphia's classic rock station, 102.9 MGK.
Chuck Nice is a comedian who is on the show with us a few times a year. He's originally from the area. He lives up in New York now, and he does a show regularly with astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson. All right, and they do this show called Star Talk. It's going to be at the Keswick Theater tomorrow night. It is sold out. There was really no reason for them to call us yesterday, but we got a call from Chuck going, hey, do you want to talk to Neil? And we've been bugging him for years. Hey, get Neil on the show. Get Neil on the show. And Neil was up for it. We thought we were going to talk to him for about 10 minutes. We talked to him for half an hour, right? And we're not going to play you the whole thing. There will be an entire podcast of it that you could listen to the whole thing. He's a very interesting man. His story, his background, you know, for a kid from the Bronx who ends up meeting Carl Sagan and becomes an astrophysicist in his own right is an amazing story, just that alone. But the guy just really if you want to talk to somebody about space, and you know I always want to talk to anybody about space, Neil deGrasse Tyson is the person to talk to. So we started out by talking to Chuck, and we'll just start it right there. Hiya, Chuck. How you doing?
John, how are you, buddy? I'm doing well.
And, of course, Neil is here. Hiya, Neil.
Yeah, hey.
Neil, let me ask you this, all right? If you put just the name Neil in Google, your name is the very first name that pops up. And below
it... Well, it didn't always used to be that way. For a while, I was like behind Neil Armstrong and Neil...
Neil Diamond.
Yeah, Neil Diamond.
Neil Diamond. Right.
And Neil Patrick Harris.
Uh-huh.
Right.
So I haven't checked lately. So,
this morning I went and I checked, and you come up first, and Neil Armstrong comes up second.
Okay. All right.
That means I have to change my browser because Neil Sedaka comes up first.
Yeah, who you been listening to?
I was just curious, are you proud or embarrassed of being above Neil Armstrong?
Okay, no, there's something far more devastating than that.
That being?
If you type... The Big Bang Theory into Google.
Right.
The TV show comes up ahead of the origin of the universe. Okay. That is far greater transgression. Wait, but in all fairness, my personal jury is still out on that because at least the phrase Big Bang Theory has become pop culture.
Uh-huh. Right?
And what Star Talk is all about is finding ways to either reveal science that exists in pop culture or layer science onto it in ways you had not previously known. And I think in the end, we have to celebrate that.
Next question. I want to get some of the silly questions out of the way straight up front. Okay. Do you own a tie that isn't space themed?
I'll field this one for you, John. Okay? The answer is no.
No. I have to wait.
Neil, I'm just going to say this. When you finish the answer, tell him about the underwear.
And Chuck, why do you know about my underwear? So here's the thing. I do have ties that do not have cosmic themes. Those are the ties I wear with my cosmic vests.
I see. Okay.
You can't have
it's
a conflicting tie and a vest, right?
Okay.
So yes, but there's not many. I have like six ties that go with my six vests, and all the rest, 100 and some ties, have cosmic themes on them.
Okay, yes. All right.
God forbid you have galaxies colliding in your outfit.
My favorite tie of yours is the Saturn rocket.
Oh, you know, I've worn that like four times in my life.
Uh-huh.
Whoa, you must be like oh my gosh, now I'm worried about you.
Yeah, I'm a fanboy. Right. These guys will tell you, right, I am just Johnny Moonbeam.
Okay, right? Yeah, that one, it's perfectly proportioned, right? It's a tall rocket, and it goes right up the main, the top side of the tie. And by the way, I do own maybe a half dozen cosmic underwear.
Okay, there you go, Chuck. You got it covered. Yeah. All right.
There you go.
Last silly question, favorite space movie?
Ooh.
Ooh.
Oh, I've never asked this.
Yeah, I have to say, just so how well it done it was, it's a tie.
Okay.
Between Contact from the 1990s, that story that Carl Sagan wrote the novel about.
Right.
We make first contact with aliens. I like what he did there with how people might react to that scientific knowledge. Second, I would say the movie The Martian had Matt Damon in it.
Wow.
So that one, I had one of the highest compliments ever paid to me was by the author of the novel of what became that movie. His name is Andy Weir. We've had him on Star Talk talking about that movie. He said, Neil, when I wrote this novel, I imagined you were looking over my shoulder. I better redo that calculation because if Neil finds out, he's going to tweet about this. he didn't want his stuff called out on the internet. So I took that as a very high compliment. For me, in that movie, science was a character unto itself.
Wow. Okay.
And so that's my favorite. That's my favorite. Chuck, what's your favorite movie? I never asked you that.
Well, I can see you've never thought
it was
about
Blackula.
It.
Did you say Blackula? You didn't really say that. No, you did not.
By the way, I do enjoy that movie.
I hope he's right.
I got to tell you, when the first time I even saw Blackula, I actually said, wait a minute. We could be vampires too?
Neil,
I was like, things are getting better.
Okay, you know there's some progress in society.
That's right.
Neil, yeah. That answer should let you know how our relationship with Chuck is.
And by the way, I love that we're in Philadelphia and Chuck is a Philadelphia native. I feel like it's a homecoming for Chuck.
Oh, yeah.
Chuck
it's really homecoming. Well, we're usually hosting that homecoming. When Chuck comes to town, this is where he comes.
Chuck's an old timer on the show. All right.
Oh, yeah. Let me ask you some space questions. All right. The last space shuttle was 2011. Is Elon Musk the best thing to happen to NASA in the past 11 years?
I would rather speak more broadly and say the opening of access to space by private enterprise is something that should have happened decades ago.
Right.
And Elon is, of course, leading that. And so that's a good fact. And Elon is not only enabling tourists, but he's also doing some of NASA's bidding, right? He's taking cargo and astronauts. We should have been doing that long ago. The post office, okay, does not have their own airplanes. They rent space in the belly of commercial airliners that do it cheaper, faster, better than any government airplane would ever do it. So I'm just saying this is long overdue. I'm glad it's finally happened. Somebody would have been in the lead, and it happens to be Elon Musk. So that's fine. There could be more of it.
All right. Well, I mean, I look at Elon as someone who is in the space business. And look, I'm a big fan of Richard Branson. Then there's Jeff Bezos. They're in, at best, space tourism. Although, supposedly, Bezos has other plans.
No, that's an important distinction. So, the Branson-Bezos model currently is space tourism. And I think there's no limit to the interest in further developing that enterprise. Elon Musk is not only into space tourism, he's into the space industry. He's helping create an affordable space industry. Reusing rockets? Oh, my gosh. If you flew to Europe in a 747... and you get off the airplane and they shove it off the edge of a cliff and roll out a new plane every time you got on it, ticket would cost a lot more than it does. Okay? So, Elon Musk, the first stage, it's got extra fuel, it's got computer control, and it sticks the landing every time. And depending on which direction it launches, if it launches east, then there's a landing platform in the Pacific with a bullseye on it, and that sucker hits that every single time. They roll it back in, refurbish it, and use it again. That's how you make access to space affordable, which has been a decades-long challenge to anybody thinking about turning a space program into a space industry.
By the way, because of that, Elon Musk has several disposable 747s. Just pushes him off the cliff when he lands. And then says, thank you, space. Has Bezos offered you a ride? And if he did, would you go?
So I'm not, remember, I'm an astrophysicist, right?
Right.
How many times I got to tell you this? So, Branson Bezos, ask yourself, how high up did they go? And if you take a schoolroom globe,
uh-oh.
They went up, Chuck knows where this is going.
Uh-oh.
You take a schoolroom globe. They went the thickness of two dimes above the surface of a schoolroom globe. I'm sorry. That's, to me, that's not space.
Mm-hmm.
That boldly going where hundreds have gone before.
Huh.
I'll go if you send me to the moon, Mars, and beyond. Yeah. Give me a good Netflix account, some books, good music, access to your radio station. That'd be cool. And then I'll make the trip. But no, I'm not interested in just going above the Kármán line, which is the line that defines space, operationally defines space for people.
Before you go, there's a favor. I've been bugging Chuck for this for years, all right? And it's a favor I have to ask, all right? It's a simple one. Would you send me an autographed picture that says, if you only studied harder?
Okay.
Okay.
I put it in the mail yesterday. Okay.
Okay, great. All right. Neil deGrasse Tyson, Chuck Nice, our guest, Classic Rock, 102.9 MGK. Now, that is only a third of the conversation that we had with Neil. I mean, we got into a lot of deep space stuff, a lot of stuff that he believes that, you know, why should we be on Mars? Should we go back to the moon? All kinds of that. And the man is just, he's just so entertaining. And our thanks to Chuck for making that happen. They will be at the Keswick tomorrow night for their Star Talk Live. And when we spoke to him yesterday, there were five tickets available, five seats available, and I believe they are now gone. So they didn't even need to call in to promote this. They just did it as a favor, and our thanks to both of them.
The John DeBella Podcast.
I can't hear anything. I think it's gone.
Philadelphia's classic rock.
I can't hear a thing you're thinking.
102.9.
Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful?
MGK.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.